Let your acceptance change us so that we may be moved in living situations to do the truth in love, to practice your acceptance until we know by heart the table of forgiveness and laughter's healing art. We come together as we always do on that first Sunday of the month to celebrate Holy Communion. We come together remembering that we continue to talk about friendships, and we've been talking a lot about that and what we can do as friends, how we deepen those relationships. And Jesus reminds us that one of the greatest things He calls us to do as friends is to step out in faith, to do good deeds so that God might be glorified and the world might be changed. And in doing so, our lives are changed as well. That's really at the heart of the communion message, that God invites us to come just as we are so that we can invite others to come just as they are. Jesus would send His disciples, those that He'd been gathering together and training and teaching, those who were not only listening to the message here on that field over in that field overlooking the Sea of Galilee, but who would be able to have conversations with Him about it afterwards, when they'd sit down as friends at the table around the campfire, breaking bread with one another, talking about more about what was really important in life. And all that time, Jesus was preparing them for what lay ahead. He was preparing them for the moment when He would send them out two by two into the world to not talk about being salt and light, but to be that salt and light. And so I want to just spend a couple of minutes as we prepare our hearts for communion, to talk about Jesus sending us out into the world two by two to be salt and light into the world. But not as individuals, but as a church. How can we be in ministry? How can we be salt and light with other groups, with other people in our community, to make a difference in the world around us? With all of the economic challenges, with the possibility of a strike, with the teachers and needs for childcare, with all kinds of things that are happening in the lives of people. Things, again, caused by that weather, caused by other circumstances, caused by living life in a broken world. How are we making a difference with other groups? And how can we make a difference with other groups? Marilyn Cargill asked me that I would bring the thanks from Moncton down here to folks who were there as part of the service yesterday, celebrating the life of Ada Pierce. And more importantly, for those who offered to bring food and who dropped that food off. Because she said if it wasn't for the food that had come up and was added with everything that had been bought by family and friends there in Moncton, there wouldn't have been enough to go around. But there was plenty. And there was still some left over that could be shared and was taken out to the John Graham shelter to be spread even farther. And oh, how that, I'm sure that warms Ada's heart. And I know that warms God's heart in a real way. But that was the way of us working together as two churches to make a difference in a situation. I think of the food pantry. That's certainly more than two. That's many couples coming together. That's many coming together two by two to get work done and to reach out and to provide for those that are hurting, to provide for those who don't know how they're going to make it through the next week. And at least if you can go somewhere and put food on the table, then you could turn that money towards childcare. You can turn that money towards fuel bills that are rising and you can't keep up with them. Making a real difference. What are some of the other groups that we have in our community that God might be calling us to see as partners in ministry? As people that we can walk with side by side to make a difference in the world. We partner with the fire service in this area. As a pastor here, you give me that freedom to be a chaplain. You give me that time to go and to meet the needs of people here in our community, and to reach out and to support other firefighters even in difficult situations as well. That's another way that we're working two by two to make a difference, to be salt and light. Think about that image of salt for a minute. What are some of the things that we do with salt? Flavor things. It makes it tasty. What was in the bag?
I said seasoned food.
Seasoned food as well. Yeah.
Put it on the ice,
you know? That frozen layer of water that gets on the ground can be dangerous, can't it? If your feet have all ever gone out from under you underneath it, you know how dangerous it can be. But there's a lot of other frozen layers in life that separate us from what life is all about. Hurt, pain, brokenness, lack of resources, trials and tribulation, the storms of life. Those things can become like a layer of ice that separate us from God's presence with us, from the gift of community around us, from the abundance that God wants us to enjoy every day. Jesus says we're called to be salt in these places. And Jesus calls us to know that God sends others to be salt in our life in these situations. That reaching out and pouring love and pouring prayer and pouring hope into these situations can make a difference. It can melt that layer of ice and change people's lives from the inside out. And it doesn't just have to be people that we know. It doesn't just have to be people that are right around us. We live in a global world. We're realizing every day how small that world is. Television, 24-hour media, the internet, all these things, Facebook and things being out there right the minute they're happening, help us remind us how small the world really is. So think about that group, the group Mothers Without Borders. Folks that came together, sewing and putting things together, gathering cloth that would be put together beyond what was sewed yesterday, to change the lives of people around the world that we'll never know. But yet Jesus says be salt and light in these places. We can be salt because of the time that we live in. We can be salt and light in places that we didn't even know we could be salt and light in, because of the way that we can reach out. God has called us as a church. God has called us as disciples. God has called us as a people for a time such as this. Jesus reminds us this morning through the words of Matthew that when that salt loses its saltiness, it's no good at all. You might as well throw it aside because it's not going to make a difference. But I think we come together today to praise God that the salt hasn't lost its saltiness. That we can still see that salt being scattered out into the world. But that we can also come together and to seek how God would have us continue to do that. And in what places and in what ways do we need to do that? I don't know, but God does. The sky is the limit. When we realize how big God is, and how God is not only greater than, you know, we talk about God being greater than life and death, and that God is bigger than the grave. We also need to remember that God is bigger than the situations that sometimes make us feel like we are in the grave. That God is bigger than those circumstances that we face that we just have no clue how we're going to get through. And that God will make a way when we realize that He continues to send salt and light into our lives and scatters us out in the world that we might be salt and light to others. So I leave you with the question. As we come to the table, as we come to this place to celebrate Holy Communion, I pray that God would continue to open up in our hearts and our minds to the new ways that we're called to be salt and light. I want to share with you a reading from John chapter 13. It's a time when Jesus was getting the disciples ready to celebrate that first communion. They were gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem. He knew that his death was coming. He knew that the cross was ahead of him. But he got together with those disciples. One by one and two by two, they began to gather into that room. They brought all the stuff in life that was weighing them down. All the conversations that were separating them from what was really important. They were talking about who was the most important. They were talking about who ought to be in charge of the money. They were talking about what Jesus ought to be doing that he wasn't doing because of the way things were in the world. Sound familiar? And it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served. The devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come to God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin. And he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing. But later you'll understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter said, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you're clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, and he returned to his place. Jesus calls us to be salt and light, to be servants of others in this world around us. Jesus humbled himself not only to death on a cross, but to take on the most menial task in the room that night. To wash the feet of all of those who were coming together to share in that Passover meal. And to be a part of the new thing that he was doing. He didn't only wash the feet of those who agreed with him. He didn't only wash the feet of those who were going to do what they were told. He even washed the feet of those who he knew would betray him. Not only Judas, but even Simon Peter being thrown into the mix. Because he knew that Simon was about to forget who Jesus was, because it would be safer for him. It's Jesus who comes to wash the burdens of our heart and of our lives away, to set us free to be salt and light to the world that we live in. It's Jesus himself who invites each and every one of us to come to the table and to share in the gift of Holy Communion. It was Jesus who started it all. He was gathered there as he had so many times before with the disciples in that upper room. He'd washed their feet. They still didn't get it, but that didn't matter. The service went on. They came to that place in the meal where they would share the bread. Jesus would give thanks to God for the gift of that bread. And then he would break it. He'd do a new thing right there in front of them. And he'd invite them to be a part of it all. And he said, "This is my body, and it's broken for you. Take this and eat in remembrance of me." And then when that supper was over, when it came time to share the fruit of the vine, Jesus would lift that cup heavenward one more time. Again, He would give thanks to God. And He'd say, "This is the blood of the new covenant. And it is poured out not only for you, but for many. For the forgiveness of sins. Drink it often, and as often as you do, do it in remembrance of Me." Not remembering an act in some faraway place, but remembering that God is right here in our midst doing it again. Doing a new thing. That in the breaking of the bread, in the sharing of the cup, that God is with us. Not only for our sake, but for the sake of others. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious God, we give You thanks for gathering us in through this place. We live in a broken and fallen world, and You know the things that separate us from You. And You know the things that separate those that we love and those who surround us and those who live in this world that we've never met from You and Your love. And it's here in this place that You pour out Your Holy Spirit on us to make us one. To make us the body of Christ, that we might be broken and poured out into the world just as You were willing to do. As You pour out Your Holy Spirit on each one of us gathered here, we pray that You pour out Your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice. That You'd let them be for us. These ordinary elements to us would be the body and blood of Christ. That we would remember Your presence here with us in a very real way. We pray that You'd pour out Your Holy Spirit on Your church gathered all around the world, in all times and in all places, and You'd break down those walls of division, that we might work together with one another and with others in this world to be that salt and light that You long for us to be. Keep us safe as we journey through this place, Lord. As You fill us with Your Holy Spirit, prepare us for that day when we would sit at that heavenly banquet table and look into Your eyes and know Your love in an even deeper way. To You be the glory, now and forever, Lord, as we ask all of this in Your mighty and never-ending name. Amen. Robin, would you help me? And so all are welcome at the table. God calls each and every one of us to repent of our sins, to turn back to God in all those places of our lives where we're far away. All those places where we failed to be the salt and the light. God calls us to come and to receive the new and abundant life, the forgiveness, mercy, and grace to go forward in a fresh new way as salt and light to the world.